Oh, hey, there's Don Flesch, the owner of Central Camera. Hey, Don, you're on WGN. Good morning again. How are you?
Fine, sir. How are you doing?
Good. Just give me a minute of your time, Don. You were so kind to visit with us last week when you were still picking through the ashes of Central Camera. What's happened since? What did you find when you went back in there, Don?
Our first look is to look for things that are important to the history of the store. And we're still doing that today and probably again through the week and probably next week. Hopefully next week, Monday, Tuesday, we're not sure exactly, but we're going to open in front of the store with a table and try and help people with their photo needs or discussions or, you know, where we can lead them since we can't help them with the inventory, but we can certainly answer questions. So everything is going according to a short plan with small amount of time in the beginning.
How many items were in your store, and how many things were you able to recover?
So far, of importance things, we've recovered probably 60. With photographic items, you mean? Things like that?
Yeah, or cameras or
lenses. Important items, there must have been 500. So the search goes on. As far as photographic items, there probably were, you know, 150,000 items, maybe more.
So your idea next week might be to just in front of your store shop, the storefront, put a table and do business there.
Well, not necessarily do business, but we want to. I've gotten so many phone calls. We switched the store's phone to my cell phone to lead people, you know, and give them a direction or where to buy something else or, hey, can we help you with, you know, what you're thinking about now, no matter what it is, just like we did before. So.
You know, I was thinking, well, I want your store to open up, but you've got to get inventory. I mean, items were destroyed in the fire.
Oh, no, we're not going to try and get big inventory. This is simple things. You want to drop off film for processing. You want to pick up the ones that you left. You might, tell us what you need. Even we can figure it out that day or another day or where to go because you need it faster than we can, you know, solve your issues. So,
what's the status of your GoFundMe page, Don?
Oh, it's just been so enormous and so wonderful, and all the notes that these lovely people have provided. And economically, it's closing in on $200,000.
Yeah, that's the number I heard. And then have you talked to your insurance company?
Yes, I'm meeting them today at 1 o'clock for the first, you know, show them what happened kind of discovery for them, you know. So there's so many claims that we're with Hanover, which is a wonderful company, and we have an agency who helps us, but Grandpa started to go with in about 1911, called Associated Agency. And so they're having to bring this nice person in from Missouri. So it took time to organize that and what else, because there's too many claims in this area. So.
Yeah, and now that you mention it, I'll bet an insurance company with a claims adjuster has got a lot of work to do these days. So,
lots and lots, you know.
But they're going to
getting
walk.
They're getting a master's degree in how to do it right now.
How about it? Yeah. And yours would be maybe a doctorate because it was just so tragic what happened at your place—the looting, the crime, and then the fire, and then the water damage. You said that the fire department had to pump water into that thing for 3.5 hours to try and put it out.
Yeah.
You told us that when you walked in there, the embers were still really hot when you finally got in there.
Oh, it was very hot, especially on the second floor, our second floor, staircase in the back. Must have been 30 degrees heavier. But now it's calmed down. There's still water. There's still moisture. We're going to get some of those dehumidifiers and rent those, you know, probably 500 of them. You know? But then you have to empty them out every once in a while and so on. But, you know, it's going, you know, according to plan. You get advice from yourself and from your friends and insurance people tell you. And, you know, some of it's ABC and just logical and so on. But, you know, we'll rebuild. We got a lot of way to go.
I work downtown. You're downtown on what's the street address for Central Camera?
We're a block south of the Palmer House, 230 South Wabash.
230 South Wabash. All right, when you put that little card table up, kind of like Lucy in the cartoon, you know, the psychiatrist in. The Don is in. I'm going to be in line, and I'm just going to... I won't take any of your time, but I just want to say hi. And
you certainly can take all the time you want. So
right. Transaction.
That's all we have right now, certainly.
Elif, you said take which line for him? That's DJ. Hey, DJ, you're on WGN. What's up?
Hi, it's BJ. Jay, and I listen to you all the time. And I sat there till 3 o'clock in the morning watching not only that man from the camera store, but the whole thing. And I watched that man take his antique camera. I think it was the first one. His great-grandfather bought it. It was like 1893, the first held, handheld camera. 1899, I'm sorry. Yeah, it was quite a night. And I sat there and watched this nice gentleman put it in his coat, hide it under his coat, walk out the door. They were coming in with torches. And this man stood outside with the police, and I think maybe it was Dave Savini or some reporter, and he stood there and watched them burn down his store and loot it and take everything out. And he saved the one antique camera that they had. I think his great-grandfather or grandfather bought it.
She's describing you in this story, Don. That's you that went in there and grabbed that camera?
Yeah, I got it out of the window on the north window in the corner there.
Literally, as all of this was going on, as all this mayhem is happening, you thought...
Well, the fire hadn't started yet. We still weren't... But the looting was over as soon as the fire department came because they had their sirens on. So the bad guys and gals headed south, headed west, headed who knows. Were gone instantly.
Don, this is the
hundreds
classic...
Hundreds and hundreds of people.
This is the classic... if my house or business were burning and I could run in and save one thing, what would I save? Question.
Yeah.
And you answered that there, didn't you?
Well, I couldn't get into the store, but this was the we left this in the window, my dad and uncle and I, just so people could see it with a little sign, first camera sold by Central Camera, 1899. And since someone wanted to buy it years ago, and we then had to put a little at the bottom, not for sale. Memories only, you know, that kind of thing. But so I got close to the window. It was on the north window, and there was a real nice fireman there who wasn't allowing people to get close to the place because if they got hurt, who's responsible? Fire department. So over a period of short moments, we got to look at each other and, okay, and I got a little closer. And then I distracted him in a calm way. He looked to the north. I stuck my hand into the east, grabbed it out. He came back. What was that? I don't know. It's gone.
But if you're having that conversation with a firefighter who's trying to save your building, but can't
he's keeping people away from the space.
Here's my
other
point.
Firemen.
I would think you could say, hey, that's my building. That's my stuff. Let me in there and save some things.
I had mentioned early to him that I want to get something. No, you can't get close. You might get hurt.
Yeah.
We can't allow that, you know, that kind of safety.
Sure, I understand that. Well, BJ, it's a nice thing for you to notice, BJ. What an exceptional moment.
And he hid it under his coat.
hid it on the inside in the pocket, so it would be safe as I walked around still. Because that was approximately 10:30, 10:40 in the evening. The smoke came out about 10, 15 minutes later. Everybody was gone. And they fought the fire till about 4:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
4.5 hours about with the water pouring in. And it turned out to be a chemical fire because the smoke is black. If it's a moisture fire, your smoke is white.
So what does that mean? Does that tell you who set the fire or something?
Well, it tells me that and tells them that someone brought it in with them because it wasn't the chemicals that we sell for developing. And that's what the ATF, or AFT it's called, I guess, which is part of the FBI, came in on Monday to go in and Tuesday to go, you know, to capture evidence. And they put them in these large gallon cans, and there must have been 10, 12, who knows, maybe more coming out. And they did a terrific job at that point. And there was no indication of what's going on yet. And I have some phone calls into the police and to see about doing something else, and I can remember making mistakes when I was young, 12, 15, whatever. Thank goodness they weren't big ones, but they were mistakes. And maybe people were led. Young people were in line. You know, maybe the shouting and the screaming drew them along, and somebody went in and got some, hey, my turn, Mike. Someone repeated that they were on State Street about 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning, and there was a shoe store busted open on the each side of the street. And there were two guys inside trying on shoes to decide which ones they wanted to take. So,
listen, Don, as I said, when your store reopens in whatever capacity next week, make sure that we know when, and we'll come by and say hi, okay?
Thank you kindly.
All right, you stay well, sir.